Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from ericismybanker.com. Here with Sean Martin from the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Welcome, Sean.
Thanks.
Hey, before we jump in, we got lots of questions for you, but I want to give you a few statistics about what's going on with our housing market. Because you know what, it's good right now, and as far as the strength of the market goes, and you know, I'm kind of looking back. I've been in banking now over 30 years. I've been through a bunch of these cycles, and I don't know how many recessions. And we see the markets go up and go down, and right now they're looking good. One of the things as an industry that we look at are delinquencies. You know, what percentage of mortgages out there are late on their payments? And right now, the delinquency levels overall are down to about 4% of all mortgages out there. Only 2% are 30 days delinquent or more. So, you know, that's a really good statistic.
That's interesting because I've read that not in the home industry, but with car loans, and supposedly those are at a high level right now.
Yeah.
And that kind of foretells economic stuff. But that's good that people prioritize their house over their car. There's hope for us.
It's always housing is always going to be better because if you mess up on that one, then you're homeless, you know, so we don't want that, you know. And speaking of foreclosure rate, what's your guess on the national percentage of homes in foreclosure?
Can you give me a clue on what would an average market be?
I can tell you at the very worst, and we got like up to around 2009, 2010, 11, we were up pushing 4%.
Okay. 0.2%.
Dang, you're good. You're good.
It?
Oh man, we need like it's 0.25.
Wow.
Yeah,
hey.
You nailed it. Yeah, so quarter of 1%.
Yeah.
These are fantastically low numbers. And it's anecdotal. I mean, we have a strong economy. We have lots of jobs out there. We have more jobs available than we have workers at this point, you know, by several million jobs. And so there's tons of jobs available. We're seeing that, you know, with such a low unemployment rate, with housing prices, you know, strong, especially locally here. These are national statistics, but locally, you know, they're really, really good. And as a consequence, homes are not going into foreclosure. So we love that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's great.
We want to see that.
Yeah.
And, you know, lenders especially, the last thing a lender ever wants to see is a foreclosure for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's painful. Nobody wants to see anybody go through that. But number two, it's hard on our communities. You know, and it's hard on the reputations for the lenders, and it's a money loser. The average foreclosure costs a bank dearly. You know, every lender will take a loss on a foreclosure, and that's something that people don't think. You know, there's this old mindset, oh man, you know, the bank wants to take my house back, you know, so they can make a bunch of money on it. Doesn't work that way.
I recall home shopping in 2011 previously, and saw that. Pretty sure the prices places were going for were not what the bank had financed previously.
No, they were definitely going for less than that.
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of short sales, and that was not a super fun time to live through in banking. That's for sure. Matter of fact, back then we had ratings of markets, real estate markets. We called it a soft market index, and they were rated up from categories 1 through category 5. Kind of like a hurricane. And a category 5 would be a Southern Florida or a Las Vegas, you know, areas that were in complete meltdown. Phoenix was cat 5. And locally here, we were typically categories 1 or 2. We had a few periods where we got up to about a category 3, you know, which made lending much more difficult.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it was, you know, not a super fun time.
It's kind of interesting because people seem to be yearning for that time now. It's very, very weird.
Yeah.
I got the good old days when a house in Seattle cost $200,000.
That's right.
Huh. Yeah. I forgot about all the other bad stuff that went along with that.
I still get those calls every now and then. Somebody asked me the other day, I hadn't heard it in years. Like, it's like, you got that list. Can I get your list? And I'm like, what list? You know, the list of your houses that you own, you know, for sale. I'm thinking, meaning the bank. And it's like, we don't really have a list.
Yeah.
If a home, you know, it needs to be sold, people can typically sell it before anything gets to that point. But, you know, banks, I guess they used to carry listings like that. We don't really have to do that anymore. You know, so so market's looking good. You know, we do. There was a statistic that just came out recently, though, that said fewer people are planning to buy this year, but others are not really giving up. So there's been a little bit of erosion in the percentage of adults who say they plan to purchase a home within the next year. And right now that number is about 24%. It was 24%. Now it's down to about 13%. So it's dropped fairly significantly. And, you know, why? You know, what are the reasons that some have said, I don't really want to buy now, I'm just going to stay renting? You know, a couple things. One is affordability. You know, the affordability of homes, especially in our area, you know, that's been a burden. But also interest rates. We did see the rates come up a little bit. So we'll be curious over this year, though, what happens, because we've had improvements in both of those categories. Home affordability has improved here, especially over the last, you know, couple of months or so. You know, we've seen more homes coming on the market. The market softened up a little bit. I dare say we're in a buyer's market, you know, where, you know, 6 to 8 months ago, a year ago, sellers called all the shots, you know, and you had bidding wars and things like that. We still see that a little bit here and there, but not so bad, you know, but also with this recent drop in interest rates that we're going to see, you know, that, you know, start to have an impact on affordability. Right now, 60% of our market are first-time home buyers, so that's kind of an interesting statistic as well, and that's a really good number to see. That breakout, about 22% of those first-time buyers are millennials, about 14% are Gen Xers, and then 7% are baby boomers, and 4% are seniors. So we're starting to see the millennials kind of getting out there. Deciding to buy a home, and that's a really good sign.
Yeah, so. That's interesting. That's like the 33-year-old millennials that lived in the basement for the last 10 years, right?
Is
that
pretty much
The student loans off, and now they can
pretty
buy
much
a house.
You know, they're getting sick of their roomies, and you know, they want to finally get their own place.
Yeah,
you know, we see that. We teach you know, first-time homebuyer classes, and one of the things that you know, that, you know, we ask them, why do you want to buy a home? And it's interesting for a lot of those folks, it's, I want a yard. I want a dog. I want to paint my home whatever color I want. You know, they're reaching that point where they're ready for that.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm a millennial. It depends on who you're. I should prefer the sources that say I'm not by 1 year.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like a negative connotation these days,
but
I wanted a yard, and let me tell you, it's a lot of work when you have a half acre backyard. It took 2 hours to push the mower around that a couple times. And it's like, you know, I gotta buy a ride on next spring. So
there you go. Yeah,
that's good, that's great. I think that's gonna help all, you know, markets across the whole sector in the housing
absolutely
industry, rental side and
absolutely. Well, so speaking of the rental side, tell us what's going on here. What do we need to be paying attention to, and if you're a landlord in Seattle or anywhere in our region?
Well, anywhere in the state,
yeah.
At this point. And I would say not even just landlords, but people who are, you know, looking at becoming an investor. Because Olympia is in a long session. So, you know, 105 days, I believe, is the count there.
Yeah.
That gives them an extra month to come up with bad ideas. And they're taking full advantage of that opportunity this year, because we're facing a lot of issues as an industry. This is a short of rent control, which has not come forward.
Yeah,
at least here, unlike it did in Oregon, where it's going to pass.
You think so?
Yeah. That's gone through the Senate, and the Senate is the more rational chamber generally. It's usually the more deliberate chamber. So everything else other than rent control is on the table. And what that means are increased notice periods for rent increases, for terminations of tenancy, how you can terminate a tenancy. Then we get into stuff that deals with evictions. And evictions, there's been some reports and, you know, published by, there was a Seattle Women's Commission, I would call that a report, not a study. The University of Washington, a professor there, Tim Thomas, put out a report he did as well on some of the data around evictions and tying it into a lot of social justice initiatives and things that are going on there. So there's a lot of evictions kind of reforms that are being floated as well. And so all this stuff is really a big package at this point. They're going to, if you're a landlord right now, by June, maybe September at the latest, but probably by June, you're going to be experiencing some huge changes, probably the biggest changes legislatively in 40 years.
And I know there's Senate Bill 5600 that's bouncing its way around right now in our legislature. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, so Senate Bill 5600 is sponsored by Senator Nicole Macri. That's the representative sponsoring the House bill by Senator Patty Cooterer from the East Side. This basically is a comprehensive bill of what you call tenant protections and evictions reform. So it's looking at the pay or vacate notice period.
Okay.
Which is basically, hey, you haven't paid your rent, you have this period of time to pay or leave, or you could face eviction.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, that's 3 days.
Right.
Looking at probably that changing to 14 days.
So 2 weeks.
And when people hear 3 day pay or vacate, it's okay, only 3 days to pay your rent if something comes up. That's not really how it works in the real world.
No.
Generally speaking, rent's due on the first. A lot of landlords, you know, grace period till the fourth, fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got a 3 day pay or vacate, but you have the weekend at that point that at some part of the process comes into play. Then you have the process of actually going and filing. Usually that takes 10 to 14 days in reality, but we're looking at a 14 day period for that. We're concerned that this is just going to make things by the book, because if I have to wait for 2 weeks before I can commence action on someone that hasn't paid the rent, I'm not going to have a grace period. I'm not going to wait around for the weekend and take it easy. I'm just going to race this thing to the courtroom as quick as I can because I got to pay the mortgage. So that's one issue. There is the notice of rent increase, which is a 30-day for most places. There are some outliers, Seattle being one of them, but statewide, 30 days. That's probably going to become 60 days. There's a termination of tenancy, which 50 or 60 days is likely what it's going to change to from a 20-day notice. So really, a lot of this stuff is centered around how can we buy people more time to avoid eviction is kind of the thought there.
Sure. Wow. You know what? Hold that thought, Sean. When we come back, I've got lots of questions about what you just discussed, especially with Senate Bill 5600. How that relates to us as landlords and pretty much any homeowner in the area. Stay tuned. More Open House with Team Reba. We'll be right back.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The Answer.